Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Welcome back. It's good to be here with you. Term three. And we're kicking off a series on spiritual gifts, which we're really excited about. I'm going to be introducing it tonight and just whetting your appetite for more to come. But before I get started, Emily Byrne is here, popped in from down the road. She's a youth. Welcome, Emily. For those that might not remember or weren't at Easter camp, Emily's a youth pastor down at Coro Uniting, which is really just our next door neighbor church down the road. So we love Cora and we love Emily, and she wanted to share a little testimony with us tonight, which is very topical for spiritual gifts, but also just good news worth sharing and celebrating. So thanks, Emily.
Hi guys, thanks for having me. You know, Christy's so funny hearing her introduce me as the youth pastor from Cora, because actually Christy and I are really good friends, so I'm surprised I didn't say, this is Emily, she's one of my really good friends. We caught up for coffee yesterday afternoon, and we chatted for like 2 hours because our lives are really similar and we can encourage each other and pray with each other. And so what I think has been really amazing is that Christy came over to my place. Actually, she'd been texting me a little bit, text harassing me with little cute pictures saying, when can we catch up? I want to hear about Darwin. And I said, I'm actually free today because I'm quite disabled. On Monday night, I thought I'd better reply because I didn't want to leave her hanging. And then, because that was on yesterday, which is Thursday. So from Monday, I don't know what happened. We had our night service at church, and we had a chance for our guys who came on our Darwin mission trip to share back, and that was fantastic. But then from that night all the way through, I basically had a temperature, and I had so much pain in my legs and my hips and my back that I started not to be able to hold my own body weight up. Now, if you've seen me, I'm usually quite jumpy and crazy, and I never had that before. So I was making my kids lunches. I've got two really cute kids, and I'd suddenly need to sit down, and when I'd sit down, my own weight on my own butt was like cutting off the circulation, so I was getting pins and needles, and I'd try and lie down, and the weight of one leg on the other it was just excruciating. And it had been like that all up until Thursday, and I hadn't really, I guess in that time it was fascinating for me, because I felt like I'd really learnt from our recent mission trip just to fix my eyes on God and everything else would make sense. And one of the things I've been querying God about is how important it is for our young people to understand what their soul is. You know, we sing about our soul. My soul glorifies you. It is well with my soul. But what is that thing? And as I lay there in excruciating pain, I thought, this is actually a really great testimony, Lord, because I don't believe you left me and I don't believe you've stopped loving me. So how can I use this current, like, debilitating? I had to crawl up my stairs at home to go and do my five-year-old's hair. It was, yeah. My husband's like, why don't you go and see somebody? That sounds really bad. I'm like, no, I'll just wait it out. No, I was a bit dizzy. Didn't really think I should be driving a manual car, given I could barely, you know, crawl up a stair. And I thought, so Lord, what can I do with this? I'm like, this is a great testimony. When I get to do like our Sunday morning program, I'm going to tell all the kids about this, and we can unpack a bit more about what it means for us to have a soul and the bit of us that's eternal. And oh, it was so amazing. So I wasn't really feeling panicky or like I really wanted to, I wasn't too worried that I just was going to ride this random thing out. Anyway, Christy said, can we catch up? I'm like, yep, because I can't literally go anywhere. I'll just be at home. And we chatted for a couple of hours, and just before she left, she's like, oh, I was supposed to pray for you for your legs. I'll just do that now. And what really touched me about this is that Christy had just been sharing, I'm going to go a little bit personal, not too personal. It's good, because we're just real people still trying to follow Jesus. She was just sharing with me about her own journey around this whole topic of healing and listening to the Lord, and it not necessarily have been that easy of late, or over the last like little while. So for her to reach out and say, I want to pray for you to be healed, and I think was particularly touching for me that it happened after this quite personal conversation. And when she did that, she was saying, I'm not really that comfortable with, you know, people checking straight after. I haven't quite worked out what my method is or whatever. And I'm not a pro either by any means. So we didn't check it, and she took Zip, because Zip had been watching lots of TV and eating lollies, and by that stage needed to go home. And that was about 1 o'clock. And so by the time I got to pick up my kids at 3, and I hopped out the car, I realised I was walking around with no pain. We live on the same street as our school, right? So to drive to my school is a bit embarrassing because people, yeah, usually we are literally on the block of the school. So I got out the car, I was like, oh, I actually have no pain. And I was kind of freaking out, like, this is great. And then I sort of walked into the school, and the reception teacher said to me, oh, how are you feeling? Because she saw me sort of staggering in there in the morning, like can't pick up anything, can't pick up my kids. I'm like, actually, I'm really good. I'm a bit freaked out at the moment. I just started doing squats. And she's like, I was like, I had to explain. You see, my friend just came over, and she sounds a bit warm. She's prayed for me. And I can, like, fully move. I just want to test this out. And this teacher I've had, God's given me some great chances to talk with her about spiritual things and to be able to, I guess, support her and be Christ to her in some stressful situations. And she just nodded and went, it's that spiritual healing, isn't it? Like, she really knew. And I was like, come on, this is my turn. I'm going to pray for your back. But it didn't happen because my five-year-old had to go to the toilet. But that's all right. You know, God has everything in his own time. And so I didn't panic and just... We went off to wait for my five-year-old to go to the bathroom, and I got my seven-year-old to hold the phone. I said, quick, I want to test this out, right? And because I'm quite open with my children about this recent learning I've had about how God heals, they're fully into it. They just think it's normal. So she just held up my phone. I'm like, watch this. See those stairs? I'm just going to try and run up these stairs. And I just pounded up these stairs. I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at me. I thought, I must have, like, this most stupid mum on the block. Ah, down the stairs. More squats. Okay, I've got to show Christy the video. And then it just dawned on me that, you know what, God has actually prepared this message that you're about to hear from Christy to the extent that he has even given you this fresh testimony. So you're here tonight because he needs you to hear something. You know, I've had a week of lying in my bed, probably for you, so I can tell you this story. So I've watched the Visual Bible, which is fantastic. You can see it on YouTube. In the Gospel of John, there's a man who's born blind, and he's sitting on a mat, and Jesus and the disciples walk up. And this is after they've already seen Jesus do some amazing things. But rather than be focused on, oh, wow, Jesus, what are you going to do for this guy? The first thing they focus on is what's wrong with him. Oh, Jesus, you know, why is this guy blind? Is it something he did or his parents? They're trying to work out what broke, what did this guy do? And Jesus has said, neither. It's so that God's glory can be shown. As in, shift your focus off the illness, shift your focus off the person, shift your focus off the past and analysing and digging and trying to find out what's wrong, and just anticipate what God's going to do. It could have been an awesome testimony. It still is an awesome testimony for me to use on Sunday morning about the soul. That's still valid. But look what it's done, right? It's gone from a little intimate conversation between me and Christy for I don't know how many of you guys are here right now, and you might repeat this to some of your friends. God cares about you. He needs you to hear this message. Don't be afraid of it. He loves you, and love is really the key for what you're going to hear about spiritual gifts. So I'm so pleased to be part of God's amazing puzzle that he's just pulled together, you know? What? Puzzle? Oh, hey, Holy Spirit synchronization.
She wasn't here for the puzzle. Hey? Hey? Oh, my gosh. It's like God is real or something. Confirming the word in signs and wonders and words of knowledge. So good. Really? That's pretty cool, isn't it, guys? Thank you. Thanks for sharing, Emily. And let's just, praise God for how good he is and that there is more to discover. I'm, excited. I'm stoked. And we're all on a journey of learning more about what it means to be believers and what God has for us. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, forget not all his benefits. There's actually amazing bonuses and benefits to being a Christian. And we're at risk of forgetting what they are because there's so many and there's so much good stuff to discover. So we have to constantly encourage each other and remember there's more to discover. And let's not forget to keep unwrapping the things he has for us. So who likes superheroes? Who loves superhero movies, action, you know, adventure? I love a good superhero movie. Tell your neighbor your favorite superhero movie or your least worst one if you don't like it. All right. I haven't seen the Wonder Woman movie yet, but I'm really pumped to see it because I love a good female superhero. And if you guys, where's my clicker? All right, guys. Does anyone know who this? Yes, Emily knows. Yes, She-Ra. Oh my gosh! If you're a child in the '80s, which none of you are, except a couple down here at the front. And Mashy, love you, Mash. I love this, and it's so sad when you have childhood like heroes, and then you go back and look at them on YouTube or on, and you're like, lame. But no, it's a pretty good photo, but it was hard to find a good one. How cool is that horse, though? But I just remember, like, in the car, driving on road trips, I would make up little songs and imagine myself, like, She-Ra, like, you know, Trent, and, like, He-Man. He was the kind of, the other one in the, they'd kind of transform when they needed to into these, like, whoa, mega powerful people, and it was so cool. And the next one, I've got the clicker. Okay. Thundercats. How freaky is she? I was horrified when I found this one because in my memory, she was like so cool and like inappropriately dressed. The things that we watched in the 80s, I don't know. This is from Thundercats and she was the girl in the, so they're like half cat, half human. And she was Chitara. Get that? Like Cheetah? Tara? Chitara, how cool. And she had this pole that would like shrink into just a small stick and then it would go along like that and she'd catapult into the bad guys and like kick butt. I know. And I remember like having sticks in the backyard, different length ones, so I could pretend to be her. And I was like, how cool. And then I watched it. I was like, ugh, so scary. What's going on with her face? You guys, you don't know how blessed you are to be born when you are. The superheroes are so much cooler than they used to be. Yeah, look, I got a picture. That's looking a bit of an upgrade. hope that's not going to be too distracting. But in talking about spiritual gifts, you know, I think one of the reasons that we really, a lot of us, you know, some of these superhero movies are like the classic, you know, they get a lot of, people love these movies. And I think my theory is that because it does touch on something in us where we long to be like, the idea of having superhuman strength or being able to do amazing things to help other people or to rescue and to save and to do amazing things. Like, I think we have this longing and desire for that within us that God has put there. And so seeing these kind of stories and hearing like these origin stories of how they came to be like that, it's just, there's something in that that sort of strikes a nerve. And I think it's supposed to. But I just want to list, you know, and we've talked about this over the years, like God's story and what he's doing in us and that he's doing this epic adventure, romance, everything, and we're actually wrapped up into it and a part of it, and it's better than any movie, any story, and it's real, and we get to enter into it, and it's, you know, often we think the movies are better than reality, but the truth is reality with God is so much better than anything make-believe, and that we can enjoy watching some of this and go, yes, that's cool, but real life with God, living for him, is so much cooler than anything I'll see on the screen. And it can just inspire and excite us to continue on our journey. So I want to give us a few reasons why being a Christian is better than being a superhero. Are you ready? Number one. I've got the clicker. I keep forgetting. Maybe. It's not so lonely being a superhero. Often, I think part of their challenge is like they're the only one of them. I mean, the Avengers and things like that, there's a little bit more of, you know, they got the little group thing happening. But still, there's usually only one that has their little special weird power, and it's got its own pros and cons, and no one else can really fully probably relate and understand. But people like Superman, Spider-Man, but it's a bit of a lonely road. And often they lead a double life. And yeah, I think it's got its loneliness to it. Whereas being a Christian, we're not alone. Like this, we're part of community. We enter into the family of God. And there's other people like us to share the journey and to grow in it together. And I think that's an awesome benefit. Number two, you don't have to wear Lycra, but you can. So, you know, it's optional. I love that. I probably would opt to wear it less often. Number three, I don't think I need to unpack that too much. I think that's straightforward. Number three, you're on God's mission, not a vigilante. I think, you know, as a superhero, there's so many different people wanting your help and your attention, and it's kind of like very reactive existence, trying to go, what am I doing today? Who am I saving? What am I helping? What's the... And they really respond and kind of work out their own path as they go. Whereas I think a real benefit to being a Christian is like God's already doing this amazing story, this mission, this adventure, and he's got a plan and a target and a goal, and we get swept up into it, and he's like the best boss as well. You know, often these people, like the whole loneliness thing, not that many of them have someone that they kind of report to or get their direction from, whereas it's actually a really freeing and empowering thing to go, we're under his authority, and he leads us and guides us and shows us what to do and points us in the right direction, and we're not trying to work it all out for ourselves and figure out our own path or our own destiny. We're entering into what he's doing, and he leads and guides us, and that's just... And we know that what we're doing is so much bigger than just us and our name and what we want and what we think. It's for him and his glory, and we enter in. And I think that's amazing. Number four, you can gain new powers and abilities. Most of these superheroes that I've observed, they kind of have a static kind of set of powers. They might be pretty awesome, but they don't tend to go, oh, now I can do this, and now I can do that, now I can, you know, it's not a gradual growth and discovery. And I think as Christians, and this is more what we'll unpack with spiritual gifts, is like we can go, oh, wow, I've discovered that I've got accessibility to be praying for healing, or I can prophesy, I can grow in getting words of wisdom, or, you know, it's an increasing capacity and growth and discovery that keeps going and going, which I think is really exciting. Five, last one. It's not make-believe, and the story never ends. How good is that? It's not over when you leave the cinema, the story's over, those people are just actors wearing makeup and with stunt doubles. We're in a real live action, and it doesn't always look as cool as it does in the movies, let's face it, but there's stuff going on in the unseen world around us that we get to be part of and have a meaningful impact on, which one day we will see clearly what all that is, and it will be very cool. Make no mistake about that. So, who's feeling like kind of convinced that, yeah, maybe being a Christian's pretty good? Yeah? Who's still thinking maybe being a superhero? Nah, but it's fake anyway, so it's not even an option, guys. So let's move on. spiritual gifts. I just want to look at, this is a brief introduction, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere. But God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it, believers. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people, but Christian people. The variety is wonderful. So this is just giving us an insight. There's something, when we come into the family of God, we receive forgiveness, we receive salvation, we come into intimacy and relationship with God, which is amazing, and already more than we could hope for or imagine, really, what he's done to bring us back into his family through the death of his son. But now we hear he's also giving out gifts, and he's giving out abilities and powers to his people, which is pretty interesting and exciting. And it says in, you know, I think it's 1 Corinthians, says, I don't want you to be in ignorance. I don't want you to be in ignorance about spiritual gifts. So this is something as Christians we need to learn and grow in, because it really enables us to be effective in our ministry, because being a Christian is not boring, and it's not just head knowledge of like, oh, I know this list of what it means to become a Christian and all these things I have to do. It's a life of power and intimacy and fellowship, and it's real, and it's has an effect. And, you know, we need to go back to our origin story to really get stirred up and get hungry for what he has done and what it actually means. And maybe there's some things we have forgotten. Maybe we have forgotten some of his benefits. Maybe we're just new and we haven't learned what it means. We're just learning what it means. So just lean in and learn what it means to be a son or daughter of God and what is available, because it says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. You know, some of the things with this gifts is that it's not necessarily automatic. Like, God's Spirit is in you, but he's asking us to, like, ask and receive and to test things out and to take risks and to take steps of faith in response to what he's done. He wants us to engage with him. So we need to learn and discover so that we know what direction to search in and what doors to knock on. So, in the next slide, in 1 Corinthians 12, the same chapter, we get a list of some of the these sort of supernatural gifts. And I've chosen this list. There's different lists in the Old Testament, New Testament, which you might want to unpack more in your small groups. And also, we have made some booklets on spiritual gifts. So if you'd like to, during the week and stuff, just do a bit more reading or discovery or journaling around this topic, please grab one. We've got a bunch of them, and we can print more if we run out. But yeah, I thought a lot of the time when we think of spiritual gifts, we want to know about these like healing and words of knowledge. And so I thought we'll stick to that, because they're the real out-of-the-box ones that we often don't necessarily see. But even tonight, God's given us a real taster of what's available. So we've got wise counsel, which is often called words of wisdom. Clear understanding, which is like a word of knowledge. Simple trust or faith. Healing the sick. Miraculous acts. I mean, some of the things Jesus did, like multiplying bread, and, you know, disciples experienced very similar signs and wonders in their ministry as well. And like calming the storm and things like that. They're miraculous things that happen, and God says, greater things will you do. That the miraculous is actually going to be a part of our normal Christian life. Proclamation or prophecy, which can be about sort of speaking, seeing the future or declaring God's truth over people. Distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin. They all come from the same Spirit, and they're handed out by God. And he determines who gets which gift, but there's also, like I said, an element of what would you like? It says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. So he's looking for a response from us, an engagement, and an asking and a seeking from us. And don't put yourself in a box and think, oh, I'm not going to be any of those. Or, which ones stand out to you and go, oh, that would be so cool. I'd love to do that. Or I'd love to be able to bless and encourage people, because it's not just about you having a cool gift or a cool, oh, wow, I prayed for someone. They go, hey, that's so good. But it's about glorifying God, edifying, encouraging other people. And it does bring a satisfaction to you to walk in that gift. But it's really about your gift is a gift to everyone else. And in the body, like the puzzle pieces, when we're all walking and operating our gifts, we might all have a different combination or different variety or be at different stages of maturity, but we can bless and encourage each other. So I just want to have a quick look at our origin story in the book of Acts. And I hope this encourages you to read Acts for yourself, because it's crazy. Like, the Gospels is all about the life of Jesus, and that's amazing. But then it's like he dies and resurrects and then, you know, after 40 days appearing to his disciples, he leaves, goes up to heaven, and tells them, wait, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere yet. So they wait together. And that's like when, bang, the party really gets started. And it hasn't stopped. It's not supposed to have stopped. It's kept going. We're still in the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of God's people, we can enter into this story and find ourselves, pick up where they left off. So I've got a fair bit of scripture here, but I'm just going to kind of pull out key sentences as we look through. And they're in order of how they appear in the first few chapters of Acts, but I've just kind of highlighted sections to give you a bit of a feel. But I hope you go back and read. It's an exciting, if you like adventure and action, the book of Acts has got it all. And it's not to say, I'm kind of highlighting some of the use of the spiritual gifts. There was great persecution and opposition. And in those first few chapters, there's the first person stoned and killed for being a follower of Jesus. So there is a cost associated with being a follower. I don't want to ignore that. But tonight I'm highlighting the gifts in action. All right, so this is the origin. It's our origin too. When the feast of Pentecost came, so they were waiting, as Jesus said, they were gathered together waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from, a gale force wind. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And then, you know, the Jews there, I'll just paraphrase this. The other Jews, they heard their own their native languages from their home countries being spoken by people that shouldn't know their language. And the people were speaking in tongues and actually speaking these languages, and they were blown away. And they said, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. So they were telling these amazing things God had done in a language they didn't know, but people there could hear and understand. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of it. They were confused. What's going on? And some joke, they're drunk on cheap wine. And Peter says, they haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. So all through the Old Testament, we're looking forward to this time in history where this would happen. And it says, and this is, how cool is this for an origin story? The prophecies. Every good story has a good prophecy. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved. Wow. And that time was fulfilled at Pentecost, and that is still the same time and season that we are living in. This promise is to be fulfilled now in our day, continue its fulfillment in our day. And Peter said, change your life, turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus, and have your sins forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. And when it's talking there, it's more clear in other translations, like to anyone in future generations. It's like they've gone to a great effort to show us this includes us, to their children, to going on. This is for us. This is the promise. The Holy Spirit has been promised to us. And 3,000 people believed, got baptized, and everyone was in awe. Signs and wonders were being done, and they lived in wonderful harmony, having everything in common, and they took care of each other's needs. And then the next story we hear soon after is Peter and who was it with him going to the temple, Shane? Peter and James. Someone asking for money, and Peter says, "I don't have money, but I'm going to give you what I do have." And he pulls him up and he gets healed. And then they get in all sorts of trouble for healing him. But so many more people came into the kingdom after that as well. And then when they were kind of getting told off by the religious people, Peter and John standing there so confident, people couldn't take their eyes off them. Their fascination deepened when they realized these two were laymen with no training in scripture or formal education. You don't need training or formal education to be a powerful, mighty person in the kingdom of God. And that could be an encouragement to lots of us to think, oh, you don't need to wait. You don't need to do this, this, and this. Like, receive the Holy Spirit. Walk in obedience to what he's saying to you. And then, and next slide. While they were praying, this is another occasion, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. That's one of the outcomes of being filled with the Spirit, is like fearless confidence to speak his word. So much good stuff in there. Not a person among them was needy. It was very holistic. It wasn't just someone up the front doing something and everyone else watching, is that everyone was participating in this life of the Spirit. Everyone was getting their needs looked after, spirit, soul, and body. And they just lived in this beautiful harmony. People were drawn into the community, but also people were scared of it and like, oh, I'm not sure. So it was very polarizing, but it was powerful. I want to finish, wrap up with showing you a video, just to, again, keep whetting your appetite. Has anyone heard of Sean Boltz? Not many. Yes, this is going to blow your mind. So Sean Boltz, he's an amazing minister for God, and he really operates in prophecy, words of knowledge, but unlike anyone I've ever seen before, in the accuracy. And he's written an amazing book. You can put this slide up, Shane. He's written an amazing book called Translating God. I want to get a few copies for us here. If you're interested in reading this book, let me know. I'm going to purchase some, hopefully, that people can borrow, but it's the best book of prophecy I've ever read. And he's really normal, and he really unpacks it without all the weird stuff. It's just how to hear God and to speak what you're hearing and saying to others and encourage them, because who knows, who's received like a word, it's kind of been a bit prophetic or a bit directed to them and just felt so encouraged and loved. Has anyone experienced that? A prayer or a word that's just been, wow, God sees me. And how amazing to be able to do that for one another and to grow in our ability to do that. So Sean is a great teacher in that. And I just want to show you this clip of him at a huge, there's like almost 100,000 people at this huge event. And he had words and names and that God had given him. So watch this.
Praying for the sick. There's going to be deliverances that take place. There are some that have been tormented in the mind, and you thought that was normal, and it ends tonight. But we're also weaving in the prophetic, and one of our dearest friends, one of our most trusted friends, is Sean Bowles, and the Lord's shown him several things. So I want us to dial it way down and give Sean an opportunity to minister here.
Okay, I've never done this in a crowd this big, so this is new for me, and it might be new for you.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out a few things that are words of knowledge, which means there are things about your life currently right now. And if this is you, it has to be all the things, not one of the things. And I want you to wave your hands as big as you can so that we can really see you, because it's going to take a second to identify who you are. So if I call out the details and it makes sense for you, please wave your hands. And prophecy just makes you feel like Jesus loves you. So I'm going to get words of knowledge that are going to help us to know who I'm prophesying over, and then I'm going to get words for that person that I'm prophesying over that might involve healing or whatever else. So we're going to try this out. Please, Jesus, come. Is there a Kenny or Kenneth Ray and a Patricia Liu who came together? A Kenny or Kenneth Ray and a Patricia Liu who came together? Help me find them. Are they here? Are they real? Come on! They're up there in this section right there. Okay, so you're going to have to help me out here. Tell me if these names make sense to you. There's four of them. It's David, Esther, John, and Sarah. Does that make sense? She's excited. These are your children? Are they your children? This is Jesus. Is there any more? Is that it? That's it. We got him. Okay, there might be one more, but I can't tell. Patricia, God is healing a list of things you need in your body from the mission field, where you've needed a list of healing, and God's touching you right now. So just lift that list to him, and you're going to feel a healing anointing come over you, and God is sending you guys. This is awesome. These are their names. God knows their names. God is sending you guys back to Oregon. Does this make sense? Back to Oregon. So you're going to Oregon. Does that make sense at all? Yes, it's making a lot of sense. We don't know what it means, but he says you're going to reap what you haven't even sown in Oregon. And also, I saw something about California and Fair Oaks. I used to live near Fair Oaks. Is there a Fair Oaks connection? So here's what I see with Fair. This is radical. She's like, oh, you know, it's working. So Fair Oaks, Winding Oak Drive. Does that make sense? This is an actual street you lived on. And the reason why God's showing me this is because it's a parable of what you're going to be planting in the West Coast of oaks of righteousness, winding oaks, places that are people that will offer so much stability and shade in their Christianity. You and your husband are amazing disciplers. And I saw something about 2 Corinthians 1:2, and then I thought maybe 1:2 is a significant date to you. Is 1:2 anything? Like January 2nd? Is that anything at all? Yes. Is this an anniversary maybe? This is your anniversary. Yes. Jesus loves your marriage. Of course he does. I ask God right now. I just ask God right now, Kenneth and Patricia, that he would touch you and mark you, because you are examples in this revival culture of people who are going to be carrying a discipleship move of revival into this next season. God knew you would be here. He knew you would be here because he sent you here to be a token to all of us that he knows us. He knows our families. He knows what we need in our bodies. He knows what's going to come next. And he's pleased with us. He loves you. In Jesus' name, amen.
They interviewed that couple afterwards, and everything was like amazingly spot on. So I just want to show you that to inspire, encourage you to go, what's actually possible? And you know, I always love to say, there's so much more for us. And Sean is great because he really demystifies it. He's not about being on a pedestal, but he really wants to equip and empower the body of Christ to go, this is not out of reach for any of us. We have God's like spirit living in us, so of course he can do amazing, mighty things for us, and we learn to listen to his voice, respond to him, grow in maturity. And it's a really exciting journey, because how blessed to be those people, you know, to receive that word. Who would feel like, wow, if that happened to them in a crowd of 100,000? But then also to be someone that was operating in such a gift, to bring that encouragement and that encourages all of us as we watch it and we hear, like, wow, this is the kind of God we serve. He knows the details of our lives and he loves us so much. And it is so good to be a follower of Christ at this time in history. So good. Just want to put this verse up as I wrap up and pray. Oh, next slide. Had to put Wonder Woman in there. She looks so cool. So much cooler than Shira and Chitara. God has the power to provide you with every gracious gift in abundance, so that always, in every way, you will have all you need yourselves and be able to provide abundantly for every good cause. What a God we serve, and how good to be a Christian. It's a crazy, amazing life that He has for us, and we can step into that. So I hope you feel stirred and a hunger in you stirred as we go into the next couple of weeks to unpack a few of these gifts maybe in a bit more detail and reflect on it. And yeah, please grab a booklet if you want to learn more, if you want to see, read that book. Also look Sean Bolts up on the internet and the YouTube. It's so much good stuff. The internet. Let me pray, and then we're just going to worship our good God. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're so lavish, You're so generous, You're so amazing, and You want to work with us and in and through us to love each other, to build each other up, to do amazing things. God, I thank You that You've put dreams and desires in people's hearts here tonight, and that You've, God, I think He's stirring in you even now, so many of you, specific things that you'd love to do or see or become, and just to know that He dreams big, and He dreams bigger than you. Don't be afraid of big dreams or big hopes, because He's a good God to be having big dreams in. Allow yourself to hope for more in Him. Fix your eyes on Him. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. God, we thank You. We praise You. Open our eyes and our hearts to hear, to receive, and to grow, and to become the beautiful, powerful bride that You've created us to be. We praise Your mighty name. Amen.